So,
I'm not eating very much. I fixed such a nice dinner.
Well, I'm not very hungry. A little too warm today, I guess.
I told Betsy we were having lamb chops, which she loves, but she insisted on staying for dinner at the Kendalls anyway.
You know, I think she's down there too darn much. She must be making a nuisance of herself.
Oh, no, honey, not at all. What's the matter with you? You've been so cross ever since we sat down to dinner.
Oh, I don't know. I guess it's the heat.
Well, it has been warm today. Even the baby's been fussing. Oh, another thing I liked about Charlie's article. You know, to take a lot of dull facts and make them so amusing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the story of the first two settlers quarreling over that piece of land was just killing me. I sat here all by myself laughing. I just howled. It was so funny. Really, you know, if the rest of the articles are as funny and as wonderful as this. What's the matter?
Nothing. Just that you've done nothing ever since I got home but rave about this... rather factual article that Charlie wrote. I mean, I think it's nice he did it and all that, but, I mean, after all, what's so darn wonderful about it?
Well, I think it is. Mainly, I guess, it's just so surprising that Charlie Bemis did it. As we've said so often, Charlie's so nice, but, you know, it's kind of hard to be crazy about him. You know?
Charlie's a great guy, he really is. And, as I said, I'm proud of him to think that he sat down and did something like this.
Well, he certainly has been nice to you, dear, sitting up all night with you in the hospital when I had the baby.
Yeah, yeah, sure, I know. I just said he's a wonderful person. And as you said, it's hard to be crazy about him because, well, he can be so darn embarrassing. He's so loud, you know, and you'll be someplace with him in public and he lets out one of those bellowing laughs.
I know. Well, maybe it's to cover up a feeling of shyness, really.
Well,
he certainly has hidden talents up to now.
Yeah. Well, I guess to tell the truth, I'm a little annoyed he didn't tell me. I might have helped him, you know. I know Tom Davis pretty well down there at the paper.
Well, I guess he managed without you, dear. As I understand it, he happened to see a letter to the editor in the paper one night. Some woman wrote in that there had never been a complete book written about the history of the town. So, according to Madge, Charlie just hired himself to the library and started digging up the facts.
Well, I just meant Charlie's not very shrewd about business. I might have been able to... get him a little something for the articles. I mean, this way, he's probably so glad to have the paper publish them at all.
Oh, no, don't worry about that, dear. Matt said they paid him, and very well.
Oh?
Yes, isn't that wonderful? You know how hometown papers are inclined just to pay peanuts for something, but I gathered that Charlie is getting a nice, tidy little sum for this.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
Yes, and Madge said they talked down at the paper about Charlie even getting it published in book form afterwards because it's so amusing.
What do you mean? Publish it for sale all over the country?
Yes, this is exciting. I said to Madge, wouldn't it be amazing if it turned out to be a bestseller on the nonfiction list?
Yeah.
Oh, really? You don't seem very surprised at all this.
Surprised? I'm bowled over. I just don't understand his not telling me.
Yeah. You know, it really is kind of funny, considering how interested you've always been in writing.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that book you started to write one time? Oh, you were so fired with enthusiasm, you burned the midnight off the days. That was the last I heard of it.
Oh, that. Well, I didn't have time.
Then I guess you have to work nights and just keep at it, dear. That's what Charlie did, Nan said. Too bad you never kept on with the book. Seems to me you read me some of it, and I thought it was awfully good. It'd be funny if you had finished it, and now both Madge and I would be married to real, live authors.
Yeah.
Oh, because I can't get over the... Charlie just writes so marvelously.
Now, look, for Pete's sake, he's written a few factual articles on the history of the town. You're comparing him to George Bernard Shaw, practically.
Oh, I am not. You little... just a little bit jealous of him?
No, for Pete's sake, jealous.
Well, the truth is, I guess we shouldn't be, but we both are.
Oh.
Well, we are, let's face it. I'm glad for Charlie, of course, but somehow I can't help feeling that... Well, I wish you'd thought of it. It seems so simple.
Yeah, like everything else. Once somebody has accomplished something, it seems so simple, you wonder why you didn't do it first.
That's right. Well, Charlie has been nice to you, dear. And I think, frankly, you should jump in the car after dinner and drive over there and congratulate him personally.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, too. More power to him, I say. Look, I'm the guy who's always saying he's going to do something and never does it. Charlie doesn't even mention it, and he goes ahead and accomplishes something. I give him credit.
Well, I'm sure he'll appreciate your coming over and telling him how good you think the article is.
Yeah.
Since he knows you were the editor of your college paper and have done some writing like that, you said, he'll appreciate your opinion.
Yeah, sure. You know, let's face it, the truth of it is it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, and I really mean that.
I know you do, dear. Yeah. I know you do. Well, you drive over and tell him so. I know he'll appreciate it, darling.
Yeah, come on in. Hi, come on in, pal. Sit down. On the phone, but I'll be right with you.
No, that's okay. Matt said to come right on up, said you were busy writing.
Yes, operator. Yes, speaking. I'm holding on.
You fixing this up as a den?
No, writing room. I got to get away from the family to concentrate, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, the house is really too small if this writing business turns into a full-time job. Hello? Yes? Speaking? Oh, yes. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Is that a luncheon?
Uh-huh.
Thursday, September 18th. Yes, I think that's clear. Hold on while I check. Oh, golly, now where is my... They want me to speak at a luncheon for the State Writers League. Oh, there it is. Hand me my engagement book, will you, pal?
Oh, yes, sure. Yeah. Here.
Thanks, old man.
What you want?
Hello? September 18th, Thursday is fine. All right, thank you. I'll be there. You know, that phone hasn't stopped ringing. Would I speak here? Would I speak there?
Well, look, Charlie, you seem pretty busy. I won't keep you.
Well, I'd ask you to stay, but I want to finish my 11th article tonight.
Oh, yeah, sure. I understand. Done a little writing myself.
Yeah? What?
Well, I mean, you know, college paper. I started a book once. And...
No kidding. Oh, yeah. Well, that's just fine. You should have kept it up, pal.
Well, you know, it takes time and... When you have another job.
Oh, I know. But it might be good for you to have a hobby. Never know when something will sell. Look at me.
Yeah, I am. Well, I just dropped over to offer my congratulations. You write very well, Charlie.
Well, that's what Madge always said. Charlie, she's always said to me, Charlie, you ought to write. You've got a natural style for writing.
You know, it's funny. I write better than I talk. But then I guess most writers do.
Editor said I was a born writer. Just comes naturally.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful, Charlie, and lots of luck.
Say, now listen, pal, if you ever dig up that book or toss off a short story, I'll be glad to look at it and tell you what I think.
Thanks, Charlie. I'll get along. You got work to do. And...
Oh, never too busy to see a pal. Don't forget that.
No, I won't, Charlie.
I can't tell you how swamped we've been with calls ever since the paper came out, but I said to Madge, no matter how busy I am, luncheons and dinners and signing autographs when the book comes out, I said, it's not going to change me any. I said, somehow we've got to find time to squeeze in my old pals.
We'll return to the couple next door in just a moment. For a moment, let's talk about the news and about a friend of mine named Mrs. Johnston. At the moment, the big news in Mrs. Johnston's life is the birth of a granddaughter. Last night, she flew 1,000 miles to make the young lady's acquaintance. But Mrs. Johnston isn't completely self-centered. She knows that in the world around her, there is other news which affects her life and may touch her new granddaughter's life, too. Every day, Mrs. Johnston has depended on her local CBS radio station for her news of the world and the nation. Now that she's 1,000 miles from home, she can still depend as thoroughly and as completely on the CBS radio station in her granddaughter's hometown. With an accuracy of scheduling and a split-second timing unrivaled by ship, plane, or train, the CBS radio network sends to its affiliated stations the reporting of Edward R. Murrow, Alan Jackson, Lowell Thomas, Robert Trout, Douglas Edwards, and its other newsmen. Wherever they go, 100, 1,000, or 3,000 miles across America, the Mrs. Johnstons and the Mr. Johnstons, too, can get their favorite news programs because CBS Radio is a network.
Well, I don't believe it.
I'm telling you, that is exactly what Charlie Bemis said.
Well, I don't see how a tiny measure of success could go to anybody's head so quickly.
Look, I am telling you what he said. I sat there twisting my hat and feeling so darn uncomfortable.
Well, wasn't he nice to you?
Well, he was nice, yeah, I guess, but...
Well, I suppose he was busy, dear. He had to finish an article, and already he's getting besieged to give talk to
him. I know, but what the heck happens to people when they suddenly get a little bit successful? I mean, they change.
Well, I don't think anything really happens to them. It happens to you. You change. You know, you've never been so crazy about Charlie Bemis. But now that he's getting some attention, you suddenly expect him to be yours because you knew him when.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I know one thing. I know that I can write just as well as any Charlie Bemis. I can, better. And by golly, I'm going to write something, too.
Fine, dear. Shall I get out paper and pencils, or do you want the portable typewriter?
Oh, Pete's sake, I'm not going to start now. I mean, wait till our new house is built and I have my den. I need proper surroundings for inspiration, a place where I can have peace and quiet and...
All right, dear.
All right, you needn't smile. You just wait and see. You just wait and see.
The Couple Next Door is written by Peg Lynch and stars Peg Lynch and Alan Box, with Don Briggs as Charlie, and is produced by Walter Hart. Listen again tomorrow to The Couple Next Door.